Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Back with us is Judge Douglas Ginsburg, as we're talking about his documentary, actually his series, A More or Less Perfect Union. Judge, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be back. I enjoyed talking with you so much last month.
Well, his appeals, he's the U.S. Court of Appeals Chief Judge and Constitutional Authority, and we're talking about the three-part series, A More or Less Perfect Union. Give us an update, Judge, on how this is going, because I got to tell you, I had a little bit of a challenge, you know, going to PBS and trying to locate it. So, and I got a couple of comments from, you know, from people, you know, sending me emails saying we were challenged to, you know, to be able to, you know, see the show.
Well, it's streaming live from freetochoosenetwork.org/constitutions, and that takes you right to the program, freetochoosenetwork.org/constitution. If you go to pbs.org, you have to search around for it and find it, but this will take you right to it, freetochoosenetwork.org/constitution.
And we're going to link that. We'll link that on our website as well, so this way it makes it easier for our audience to be able to connect with the show, because obviously there is a there's an increasing, you know, interest in the Constitution. I think in light of the, you know, what we're going through in this election cycle, because you know, the battle and the conversation between socialism and democracy, then we've got to go back to fundamentals and understand, you know, what democracy is all about, what our Constitution is all about.
Well, I agree, Bill. We're making some progress. Since I spoke with you a month ago, the governor of Florida has directed that every high school have a civics class required for the graduation, and the legislature of Illinois has passed a statute requiring the same thing in Illinois. That just happened about 2 weeks ago. So the trend is in our favor. Let's put it that way. We've bottomed out. We've raised so many ignorant young people who've never been educated about the Constitution so the adults in the room are fed up. And I think
exactly.
You're right. This electoral season is bringing that home, that people really need that, and the recent impeachment exercise. People really realize they need to know something about the Constitution. And unfortunately, right now, so many of them don't. I think it was only a fifth of the public could name the three branches of the government, which is pretty pathetic, really. So those are people who clearly haven't had any civics education, and we need to make sure that the current generation doesn't have that fate, that they know how the government is structured, why it's structured the way it is, how we've departed from the original structure, and can form their opinions about what we should do about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judge, I think it's also a bit embarrassing when people realize that we have incoming, you know, previously immigrants who are new citizens who know more about our Constitution and our history than kids, you know, seniors in high school. That's pretty embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. To become a U.S. citizen, they have to study the Constitution and take a little test. And if you're born a U.S. citizen, you don't have to do that. And that's you're right. It's very ironic, isn't it? Our newest citizens are the ones who are most informed.
Well, when you think about, Judge, how important our vote is and our citizenship is, I mean, everywhere else, I mean, teachers have continuing education classes, doctors have a form of continuation education classes, attorneys. You know, why shouldn't we have that for the electorate that, you know, every 3-5 years or something, there is some sort of civics test that we would take to validate our, you know, our ability to vote? Or is that too draconian?
Well, it's pretty ambitious. But I think if we have people educated when they're young about the Constitution and about our government, that will stay with them. That will give them a foundation and for most people a keen interest in following events and in keeping abreast and reading further. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's happened with, into my seventh decade, and I think that myself, my peers, and I are pretty much in that situation. We got a foundational education, and it has served us well for a long time. Mm-hmm. We just need to make sure everyone gets that.
Well, you know, the thing is that I'm challenged by, and I'm right with you, as I enter this year, my seventh decade, as you put it. I like that. I may have to use that. So my interest in the country and the foundational efforts, because, you know, we look over the landscape and we see what's going on, and especially right now with the talk of socialism, you know, the good news is only 30% of the country is interested in it, but I believe the Republic can handle the debate and the conversation, and I think it's a good thing. Some people are freaking out over it, but I think I welcome it, because I think when we can have this debate and discussion in earnestness and seriously be forthright in trying to end up at the right place, then, you know, we come to an obvious conclusion that, first of all, socialism is not in the best interest of America. There's enough empirical evidence to demonstrate that it's been devastating to the nations and countries and the lives of people who have tried it before. Millions of people are dead in the wake of socialism. And, you know, by comparison, capitalism, based on our U.S. Constitution, boy, this has been the best country historically in terms of job creation and innovation and, opportunity for humanity than any other that I'm aware of.
You know, you can really get some attention from a young person if you ask them, how many people are leaving the United States to go to other countries to live, and how many are coming here or would like to come here? I don't think about
it. Exactly.
You know, but the flow has always been in one direction, never, ever an outflow, always an inflow. As I say toward the end of the program, we've been a beacon of liberty for the rest of the world. And our Constitution has been imitated, quite closely imitated in many countries, but it's never lived up to what we have here. And unfortunate as I think some of the developments here are, we've still maintained a closer affinity to the original Constitution than, say, Argentina, which also copied our Constitution. And they've had they were the wealthiest country in the Americas before the First World War, and they've been struggling ever since the first populist was elected there, Juan Perón, and they've never recovered. They've never recovered from that.
Judge, do you think it's interesting that, you know, here it is, our founding fathers and so many before us were willing to give up their lives for the Constitution, and maybe that's the deal breaker with all the other countries that have tried to copy it. Do they have the wherewithal? Are they willing to put their very lives, their treasure, their very being on the line for the sake of freedom?
Well, it's a good point. And in many instances, like Argentina, they haven't been challenged in that respect. They haven't had to do that. And so maybe they therefore don't have the same appreciation of their constitution that we've had, because we've had to defend the country generation after generation, unfortunately. But, you know, the nature of liberty is that it's fragile. It's hard to keep, hard to win, hard to keep, and easy to lose. And once lost, extremely difficult to recover. That's why I'm concerned about the drift of things over the long haul, over the last many decades, in which we've gotten further and further away from the real meaning of the Constitution.
Exactly.
It's hard to go back. At the very least, we want to stop the further drifting away, the further erosion of the Constitution, because that's all that stands between us and a complete loss of liberty.
You know, Ronald Reagan reminded us that we're but one generation away, you know, to your point of how sensitive this is. And maybe, and quite possibly, what you are doing is contributing to a revival of constitutional appreciation here, Judge. And I'm so grateful for this series, this three-part series, A More or Less Perfect Union. We've got about a minute and a half left. I'm going to let you sum up the three parts and, again, remind everybody, Judge Douglas Ginsburg, where they can go to download and stream this series for themselves.
Yeah, that's first and foremost. The More or Less Perfect Union, it's at freetochoosenetwork.org/constitution. The companion book, Voices of Our Republic, is wherever books are sold, and it's on Amazon, I know. The first part, Get It in Writing, is about forming the Constitution, why we needed it, what compromises had to be made to get it. The second, Expanding Liberty, is about the addition of the civil rights, and then, very importantly, the Civil War amendments, ending slavery and extending the vote to African Americans. And then the third part, A Constitution at Risk, about where we are now, where, as I said, the delegation of legislative authority to the executive, we've got students on public college campuses that are preventing speakers that they don't like or whose opinions they disagree with, preventing them from being heard at a public university, which is has an obligation under the First Amendment to protect speech. We need to be concerned about these things, all of us.
Exactly. U.S. Court of Appeals Chief Judge and Constitutional Authority, Judge Douglas Ginsburg here on Bill Martinez Live. Judge, always an honor. You're always welcome. Great to have you here. And we're going to be linking A More or Less Perfect Union on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you so much, Judge. Appreciate it. You take care.
Great. Bye-bye.